There's a lot of bad stuff happening out there. Normally, at this point in the sermon, I'd make a list. But I think if we've been paying attention at all to what's happening out there in the world, we know the list all too well already. Tax bills that give more money to the rich and to corporations, increasing income inequality, wildfires destroying homes and cities in California, the lingering disaster from the hurricane in Puerto Rico, and I'm sure you can easily add many, many more. If all you did was take in the news, it's pretty damn depressing, to be honest. I'm not going to spend any more time right now trying to bring the reality of the muck and the mud into this space, because it's already here. We're living in it. Catherine Butler Hathaway had this to say about her response to living in the muck. I invented this rule for myself to be applied to every decision I might have to make in the future. I would sort out all of the arguments and see which belonged to fear and which belonged to creativeness. And other things being equal, I would make the decision which had the larger number of creative reasons on its side. I think it must be a rule something like this that makes the jonquils and crocuses come pushing up through the cold mud. So here's the thing about the muck and the mud. We can be like those jonquils and those crocuses pushing up in the cold spring despite the odds, but we need a sturdy, robust, healthy, vibrant, and strong hope to help us do so. That wishy-washy hope that we sometimes consider to be all of hope, that wishful thinking, the, oh, gee, shucks, I sure hope things will get better kind of hope, that's not going to cut it anymore. The, I sure hope my dreams will come true, it's not going to work. Too soft. I hope these systems of oppression someday, somehow get better. Too weak. We need more in these rough days and times than a limp hope that's barely making it on life support. Now, I am certainly not putting down the feelings many of us have had this year of hopelessness, of overwhelm, of anger, of sadness. I'm not putting those feelings down at all. They're very real and totally legitimate. What I am saying, though, is that we need to listen to those words from Jason Brown that Margaret sang to us. We need to listen to them again. I come to sing a song about hope, in spite of everything ridiculous and sad, though I'm beyond belief depressed, confused and mad. Well, I got dressed. I underestimated how much that would take. I didn't break until right now. I sing of hope and don't know how. We sing a song about hope, though I can't guarantee there's something real behind it. I have to try and show my daughters I can find it. And so today, when life is crazy and impossible to bear, it must be there. Fear never wins. That's what I hope. See, I said hope. The work begins. This is why a weak hope is no good, because the times indeed are hard, and we need a strong, vibrant hope to help us find strength and grace and love and meaning, even in the face of the negativity all around us. We need a strong, vibrant hope to help us rise. Howard Zinn wrote, "To be hopeful in bad times is not just foolishly romantic. It is based on the fact that human history is a history not only of cruelty, but also of compassion, sacrifice, courage, kindness. What we choose to emphasize in this complex history will determine our lives. If we see only the worst, it destroys our capacity to do something. If we remember those times and places, and there are so many, where people have behaved magnificently, this gives us the energy to act, and at least the possibility of sending the spinning top of a world in a different direction. And if we do act in however small a way, we don't have to wait for some grand utopian future. The future is an infinite succession of presents, and to live now as we human beings think we should live, in defiance of all that is bad around us, is itself a marvelous history." hope. To live now as we think human beings should live, in defiance of all that is bad around us, is itself a marvelous history. Hope. We need Howard Zinn's defiance. Hope. Our story for all ages this morning was about a spindly plant that sprung back up straight again even after being stepped on. We need the resilience of that spindly plant. Hope. I rise, I rise, I rise. We need Maya Angelou's strength, passion, and conviction. There is nothing that can keep us down. Now, it's possible that at this point some of you might be thinking, well, that's all well and good, but I don't feel this kind of strong hope, so this isn't helping me that much. Or maybe some of you are wondering, sure, maybe I feel that sometimes, but there's also times where I'm feeling totally hopeless, and how do I get there? How do I get to this strong hope when I'm in that place? Fortunately, there's good news and answers to those questions. Hope, a strong hope, is not just a feeling that comes or goes on a whim. It's not just something you either have or you don't have, and you've dealt well if you don't, you're just out of luck. Now, hope, powerful hope, deep hope, is a setting of intention, a practice and an attitude we can choose and implement, even if we aren't feeling it in the moment. And this isn't just some feel-good thing that a minister is saying to try and make a point. It's based in research. C.R. Snyder is a hope researcher who dedicated his career to studying hope as a topic, and his research showed the following truth. Hope isn't an emotion, it's a way of thinking or a cognitive process. According to Snyder's research, and I'm going to quote Shame researcher Brené Brown's summary of it, quote, hope is a combination of setting goals, having the tenacity and perseverance to pursue them, and believing in our abilities. The bottom line here is hope is not just something that we magically have or don't have in a given moment. Hope is a choice we can make, an attitude or intention we can choose to set, a practice and a process that we can choose to follow. We don't have to feel hope in any given moment to practice hope. And often, just how like we feel sometimes, or how we feel like when you choose to make a smile, even if you're not feeling happy, it can actually help you feel a little bit happier. Similarly, if we're practicing hope, even if we're not feeling it, that too can actually lead to us feeling more hopeful sometimes. Now that was a little theoretical, so if you're looking for something more concrete to tap into, let's think back to the lyrics of Jason Brown's song. So maybe I can substitute strength, he said, because I'm strong enough, I got through lots of things I didn't think I could, and so did you, I know that's true. We all have strength inside us. I would be willing to bet that every single one of us has had to overcome adversity at some point in our lives. You have almost surely overcome a difficult situation. You have, at some point in your life, found strength to thrive in the face of hardship. So if you're needing to feel, to connect with that practice and that feeling of hope, that strong hope, part of your practice could be to tap into that time or those times in your life where you were strong. There is strength inside of all of us. I know that to be true. Or if you're someone who likes to use books as a resource for spiritual growth and change, you might try Brené Brown's book titled Rising Strong. Brown talks in her second book, Daring Greatly, so the third one's Rising Strong, she talks in Daring Greatly about the struggle of falling face down in the arena. Those moments where we feel vulnerable, exposed, overwhelmed, and shamed, especially when we're feeling those feelings in public. Rising Strong, the whole book, is her answer to the question, how do I move forward? How do I get up when I'm face down in the arena? How do I move and grow from that lowest of the low? How do I move forward and reclaim love, hope, and happiness? Or hey, here's an idea. We're in church, so if you're looking for hope, maybe we should look to religion. Because the idea of life rising from the literal ashes of death, you know the phoenix story, has been around for centuries. The story in the name Phoenix comes from Greek mythology, But other cultures and peoples have been telling stories of rebirth forever as well. Buddhism is a great example. While Christianity, on the one hand, has the story of resurrection, the coming back to life of one person who died, Buddhism, on the other, doesn't just have the story of a single person. One of the central tenets of some branches of Buddhism is that everyone comes back after they die. They believe in reincarnation into the next life. Now, that's not where most UUs are. Some of us may enjoy a good zombie show now and then. And while some of us may believe in reincarnation after death, we don't on the whole believe that someone who dies can come back to life. We do, though, believe in a fundamentally hopeful perspective. We honor and respect the inherent worth and dignity of every person, not just the people we consider to be good people, the inherent dignity and worth of every person. That's a hopeful perspective if I've ever heard one. We also have our universalist heritage to draw upon. God loves everyone, our universalist forebearers believed, and everyone is saved. No one goes to hell. While we're certainly not even majority theists today, we still have that hopeful message. Everyone belongs here, no matter how broken. Everyone is worthy of love and understanding, no matter how flawed. We see here in this community, we see how broken the world is. And we not only have hope that the world will get better, we practice our hope and work to create a more just and equitable world for everyone. Hope also can come in a religious context from at least three other places. One is in the form of spirituality and spiritual practices. Spiritual practices can be like the roots of that spindly plant that we talked about in our story for all ages. The toadstool said, right, you've been growing roots for a whole year, whoa, that's a long time. Spiritual practices, grounding ourselves, rooting ourselves, is a powerful way to build resilience in the long term. Taking the time to get grounded, to reflect, to more get in touch with the spirit. Spiritual practice can lead to a greater sense and a greater practice of hope. Another, for those of us who believe in some shape or form of God or the divine, is just that. Hope lies therein as well. If God is love, as the universalist banner that used to hang on our wall here reads, if God is love, there is hope, a hope we can practice. Third and finally, hope comes from each other, from this gathered community. Alone, we can create smaller amounts of change. Together, we can transform the world. And then there's this poem, titled A Green Crab Shell by Mark Doty. Not exactly green, closer to bronze preserved in kind brine, something retrieved from a Greco-Roman wreck, patinated and oddly muscular. We cannot know what his fantastic legs were like, though evidence suggests 8 complexly folded, scuttling works of armament, crowned by the foreclaws, gesture of menace and power, a gull's gobbled the center, leaving this chamber, size of a demitasse, open to reveal a shocking Giotto blue. Though it smells of seaweed and ruin, this little traveling case comes with such lavish lining. Imagine breathing, surrounded by the brilliant rinse of summer's firmament. What color is the underside of skin? Not so bad to die if we could be opened into this, if the smallest chambers of ourselves similarly revealed some sky. However you get there, I hope that we can find, create, and instill hope in every cell of our bodies. I hope that you can find, create, and instill hope in every cell of your body. A glorious hope, a strong hope, a deep and powerful hope, a robust, vibrant, and vital hope. A hope grounded in reason, a hope grounded in faith, a hope grounded in human goodness, a hope grounded in love. May we not only find it, may we not only intend it, may we not only practice it, may we not only create it, may we also embody it. L.R. Nost wrote, Do not be dismayed by the brokenness of the world. All things break, and all things can be mended. Not with time, as they say, but with intention. So go, love intentionally, extravagantly, unconditionally. The broken world waits in darkness for the light that is you. May we be open, and may we be willing to be the light in the darkness. To be the finders, the creators, the bearers, the embodiments of hope. Whether in everyday life or in broad sweeping moments, your hope is needed. Together, our hope can change the world. Are you ready? Are you willing?